The game is in the books, and the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network.
Welcome in to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here. The Blackhawks take down the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2. What a third period there. Got a little dicey with all those penalties, but Chicago improves to 4-0-1 over their last five games. Let's head over back to Benchmark International Arena and bring in Tony Granato so he can help us break down this game. Tony, man, these postgame shows have been fun this season. What a victory by Chicago.
They sure have, and there was some tense moments there, especially when the Blackhawks did not score on that 5-on-3 opportunity, and then they had that extended 4-minute power play there right after. And it looked like they lost a little bit of momentum, and then Tampa got a power play chance, and you go, okay, there's Kucherov out there again. Something bad might be happening here. And somehow they were able to get through it. And obviously the key piece is the guy in the net. Spencer Knight, when he had to be, made the saves. But the overall effort and the confidence that this team is gaining by dealing with all of the things that have been thrown at them through these first seven games has been just really fun to watch. And it's been little things. It's been block shots. It's been taking hits to make plays. It's been being resilient when things aren't going your way to figure out how to get the team back on track in a hurry. And a lot of credit to everybody, obviously the coaching staff, on what they've done on the implementation of the ideas on how the Blackhawks are going to play, the system that they've implemented, really in the roles that they've given these guys, and they've all accepted it and just feels like they have a ton of confidence in it right now. And lots of exciting hockey to look forward to as we move into the middle parts of the season.
How about Ryan Donato? So he starts the year on a three-game point drought. Now he's got points in five straight, a four-game goal streak, five goals over that four-game stretch, and two tonight. Ends up being the game winner with 53.2 seconds left. Tony, it's not easy for him what he did last year, just shattering a career high with 31 goals and 62 points. But for him to kind of pick up where he left off after just a little bit of a slow start in the first couple games, I mean, how impressive has he been for the last now year and a half?
Yeah, and back-to-back game winners. You got to remember the overtime game that two games ago.
Yep.
So back-to-back game winners. So then the game's been on the line. The good thing, too, that I think that Jeff Blashill has recognized pretty quickly is, man, oh, man, this is a better player than I thought. And I think that started last year. If you remember last year when they've signed all those veteran players and they were giving all those guys kind of opportunities at the start of last season, Ryan Donato was an odd man out. You were wondering, is he going to be a regular in the lineup? Is he going to be a fourth-line guy? Is he going to be in and out? Where does he fit into this team? And all he did was show up and do things right from day one. And eventually he started to play more. Eventually he started to get more power play reps. And the production came, and with it became somebody that became a piece that says, you know what, if we're building something here, we need this guy. And so I think he was appreciated in a special way, and he responded. And he's given the Blackhawks, the organization, his teammates, everything you want in a teammate. His compete level, his battle level, you saw him jumping in to defend guys last year. When guys got pushed around, he'd stick his nose in there and drop his gloves when he had to. So he did all the little things. He's earned it. And this year started, and he wasn't seeing first unit power play time. He wasn't seeing shifts with Connor Bedard. And sure enough, this early in the season, Jeff Blashill said, geez, I got to get this kid on the ice more. And because of that, that production has kind of gone along with that.
How much do you think Donato has benefited from getting dropped from the first line to the third line? Last year, he was playing about 18, 19, even 20 minutes a night towards the second half of the year as he really emerged as one of their top goal scorers. But for him to, I feel like the sweet spot for him is to play in between 14 and 16 minutes because he's not the fleetest of foot. It just feels like he could be more effective. And it feels like ever since he got taken off that first line to play on the third line, he's able to just be more effective with Chicago. Do you see that as well?
Yeah, not really. See him as one of those guys that looks sometimes like his skating is great, but when you look at it and you watch and you analyze the game, he's always in on the forecheck. He's always first one back checking. He's always in position to handle whatever speed's coming at him. So I don't think he slows down as the game goes along. I think if he got into 20-minute range, I would be concerned. But I think the 17, 18-minute range is fair for him, and I don't know if it's every night or if it's back-to-back games, if that's the right number for him for minutes. But I want him on the ice because he's going to do something, whether you're shorthanded, whether you're having a lead, whether you're protecting a lead. He makes the right decisions. He knows how to play hockey. And, you know, what that does for all the young guys that are watching, you know, on that play, I mentioned it during the broadcast, the play was flipped out. It's a breakaway for Nazar. He's way behind the play. And instead of just watching to see if Nazar scores on it, he works his tail to get up on the ice just in case something happens. And what happens? Well, the rebound's kicked out to basically it's heading towards the top of the circle. Ryan's already there. He jumps right on it, and he's got, you know, the empty net to shoot the puck in. So lots of players would have probably admired and watched from the neutral zone to see if Frankie scored. Instead, you know, he plays the game the right way. And if the other players recognize it and say, why is Ryan Donato scoring every night? Well, guys, guess what? He does everything right every shift. He doesn't wait to see if something's going to happen. He goes there and prepares that if it is going to happen, I'm going to be ready for it. And that's the way he goes about it.
All right, I was going to ask you one more, but then it just occurred to me that I think Tampa Bay has one of the slowest elevators in the league. So I should probably send you and John off. Make sure that you catch a bus.
John's getting a little nervous. He's smiling and laughing. He told me that on the way in here. He goes, you know what? This is a great press box. The only problem is sometimes it takes a long time to get up there. And we finally made it up here, and we definitely have to make our way. I don't want to run down. I don't know. It would probably be 11 flights of stairs. I don't think we need to do that tonight. But after a victory like tonight, I got a lot of energy. I don't know if I'll be able to sleep on the plane. I'm gonna have a nice meal and get ready to land at O'Hare and drive back to Madison for a couple days.
All right, beautiful. John likes to do a quick bathroom break on the way down. Tell John he doesn't have time. He can go on the plane.
He can hold it.
Big Hawks win. Hey, great job, Tony.
Thanks, Charlie.
Yeah, hopefully we'll do it again down the road.
All right, sounds good.
All right, that is Tony Granato from Tampa Bay. Hawks pick up a 3-2 victory. Just piggybacking off of Donato. I mean, just look at his career numbers last year. He had 31 goals and 31 assists for 62 points. All three of those scoring categories were a career high for him. And like Tony mentioned, he was a healthy scratch twice last year at the beginning of the season. And for him to earn the contract that he did after the season that he had is just terrific. But for him to pick up where he left off last year, again, first three games, he was quiet. But it took him a couple games to get going, and now he's just got a red hot stick. So he's had 31 goals, 31 assists, 62 points. All three scoring categories were career high. His previous career high in goals was 16, which was in 21-22 with Seattle. Previous career high was 18 assists, which was 2 years ago with Chicago. And then his career high in points was 31. So, I mean, had a 15-goal increase in the goal department from his previous career high, a 13 assist increase from his assist career high, and he doubled his career high point total last year. And now this season, he's got 7 points in 8 games, and he's basically on a point per game pace. Now, I just did the math here. Donato is currently on pace for 51 goals. Now, I love Ryan, and he's got off to a great start. I'm probably going to take the under there, but just the fact that, man, I can't remember many players that have found a resurgence in the second half of their career than the first half. Like Ryan's first 7 years in hockey, he was more known as bottom six guy, grinder, really playing 12-ish minutes a night, but he's really elevated his game with the Blackhawks, and it would have been easy for Chicago or this year. I don't even know how Ryan went into this season with the season that he had last year. I can't even imagine what the expectations were for him internally, but also externally now, it's almost like the fan base is expecting him to get 30 goals and 60 points again. And for Ryan to already be putting up these numbers after a slow start where he had 0 points in his first three games, and now he's got a five-game point streak and a four-game goal streak, back-to-back game winners. He had the overtime the other night and then the game winner tonight against Tampa Bay. So it's just been incredible. I can't say enough good things about Ryan Donato. His work ethic, I think he's a leader inside that locker room. And so, man, it's good to see him perform the way that he has, because that would have been, like, you see guys like Bedard and Nazar and Spencer Knight. Those are the three that have been leading Chicago this season. But you also want the veterans to hold up their end, so that way it's not putting so much pressure on the young guys to continue performing. And so it was great to see that Ryan Donato had kind of his, continue the goal streak, the point streak. But this felt like this was his best game of the season. And it came at a crucial time, too, against, it's on the road against Tampa Bay. Hawks have been feeling great about themselves. 3-0-1 record in their previous four games leading into tonight. Their last game prior to tonight was Sunday, so the Hawks had several days to sit on this victory, and so now they get to extend this into their next game on Sunday against LA. And so just positive vibes inside that locker room, I imagine, and they're getting contributions from up and down the lineup. We got sound trickling in from the Blackhawks locker room, so let's take a quick break, and then we'll share what some of the players and obviously Jeff Blashill as well have said about this 3-2 win over Tampa Bay. The Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Kucherov, top of the right circle, stripped of the puck by Teravainen. Lead pass ahead. Here's Nazar breaking in the lightning zone. He shoots, blocker, save, rebound, score! Ryan Donato took the rebound off of Vasilevskiy. It bounced into the left wing circle, and Donato snaps it past Vasilevskiy for the go-ahead goal with 53 seconds left in the third. It's now 3-2 in favor of the Hawks. That's Donato's fifth on the season and second in this game.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. How about the Chicago crowd in Tampa Bay tonight? I know the Hawks always travel well to Tampa Bay, but it feels like the last couple years, the Hawks fans hasn't been much to cheer for on the trip to Tampa Bay. And you saw it all night. All three goals that the Blackhawks scored felt like the crowd was close to 50-50 in that building, and there was just a sea of red. You can hear it in that call by John on Ryan Donato's game winner with under a minute left. Man, it feels like the Hawks are starting to get back, and they're starting to travel well as far as the fan base goes, because the Hawks are an exciting team again. So that's great to see. Let's get to tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Connor Bedard led the way for the Blackhawks at 22-32 of ice time. Granted, a big chunk of those came on the power play. 4 minutes and 47 seconds. The Hawks, of course, had that extended 3 minutes and 3.5 minutes of power play time in that third period after the 5-on-3 penalty that Bedard drew, which, by the way, it's going to be a busy day for the training staff. Going on the plane, I think Renzel had a cut above his eye in the game he left, and then Connor Bedard had a busted lip. So that's going to be a painful ride home, but I think that the pain is going to subside after Chicago's win. So Connor Bedard leading the Blackhawks in ice time. He didn't pick up a point in this game, but I thought he was noticeable, specifically in the third period. Alex Vlasic led the way for Chicago on the back end at 22-19, and Wyatt Kaiser was at 20-20. So I thought Kaiser was noticeable in this game as well. All right, let's hear what the game winner had to say about this. Ryan Donato, second straight game where he scores the game winner for the Blackhawks. Let's hear what he had to say about this 3-2 victory over Tampa.
How would you assess that game?
Fun. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it was fun. I think the guys are learning that, you get in those situations. I think Nider said it in the locker room after the game, it's a privilege to be in those situations. And, especially when you come out on top, it's just fun to be around. And I think, like I said, I think the guys are having fun today.
I was telling Frank, it seems like even when it's not a perfect game or there's mistakes, you guys just find a way to battle through everything right now. Do you sense that will to win in here right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, it's obviously nice that we have Nider and Sody backing up our mistakes, and they really stop a lot of those chances that we give up when we do make some mistakes. And I think the more that we play, we make less and less mistakes. But I think it's a game, right? I think you're playing against Kucherov, Point, and some of these guys that are they're going to create offense, and it's a matter of weathering it. I think the younger guys are starting to understand that, and if you do the hard things right, usually good things happen. And I think that's what's happening right now.
Did you notice how loud the Hawks fans' roars were?
Yeah, I know. It was kind of crazy. Honestly, it might have been half the our bench that cheered that loud, too. I think guys were excited and... you know, it's a blessing. I mean, like I said, that puck, I was a little nervous when it came to me just because there was such an open net and there was so much spin on the puck. I'm like, if I miss this, I'm going to lose my mind. And, you know, like I say, like it happens, all these situations you pray for. And I'm just happy that that one went in.
What do you see on the first goal?
I just wanted to get a shot on the game. I think sometimes we have I've had a reluctancy this year, just kind of holding on and trying to make an extra play. And I think, you know, obviously Vasilevsky's a great goalie, so I think you got to get as much, you know, shots on him as you can and you know, take the chances that you get. And, yeah, I was lucky that one went in.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato. I got to credit Teuvo Teravainen for the stick play that he had in the defensive zone to make even that play happen, where Frank Nazar flies up the right wing and gets a shot on net. Ryan Donato buries the rebound, but that play doesn't happen without the defensive effort by Teuvo Teravainen in his own end. Teravainen, by the way, finished with 2 assists. He also logged north of 20 minutes of ice time. So I thought Teravainen was really crucial in this game for Chicago. How about Donato saying Spencer Knight spoke up in the locker room after the game? Spencer saying it's a privilege to be in those situations. And Spencer was obviously fantastic again, stopped 29 shots, had 29 saves on 31 shots for a 936 save percentage. He went into today with a 937 save percentage, so he stuck right where his league average is right now. And how about this? Andre Vasilevsky suffers his first loss in the regular season to Chicago in his NHL career. He went into tonight's game with a 13-0 record and a goals against average of 2.14 and a save percentage of 930 in the previous 13 games. Of course, the Hawks beat him in the Stanley Cup final in 2015, so that was a massive that's a massive loss in the column for him. But in the regular season, Vasilevsky was perfect against the Blackhawks, but he ends up suffering his first loss of the regular season to Chicago. But I thought it's interesting that Donato was saying Knight spoke up inside the locker room, because Knight seems like a really calm, very mild-mannered, both on the ice and off the ice. And for Knight to start speaking up as more of a, I don't want to say a veteran voice in the locker room, more of an experienced voice, given what he had experienced in Florida and watching them win a Stanley Cup, I feel like he's starting to bring that over to Chicago off the ice, and he's carrying himself in the way that it might be rubbing off on some of the players, not just his on-ice play. So great to hear that Knight is kind of being a little bit of a leader inside that locker room. Frank Nazar, I thought he was really noticeable in this game as well. A goal, an assist, 4 shots on goal. He had 6 shot attempts. He won 4 of his first 6 faceoffs. Ended up going the other way in the second and third, so he only finished with 5 faceoff wins on 15 tries. But I thought he was really noticeable early on. Let's hear what Frank Nazar had to say about this 3-2 win over Tampa.
What did you see on the winning goal?
Just a great two-way play by Turbo. Unreal stop on defense. And then just laid it to a great area for me to go down. And Donato coming down, working hard to get up ice and on our home.
How do you feel about the team performance overall?
I say I love it. I think just sticking together and fighting for each other. Super easy when you got a guy like Knighter, you know, playing behind us and playing for us. And then, you know, him making big saves builds momentum and courage for guys like us to go out there and score those goals.
It seems like even if there's mistakes or, you know, imperfect games, you guys just kind of have a will to battle through everything right now.
I think that's something that we've built the last, like, few years. I mean, it's been some hard times, some good times. But I think, you know, learning from losses and learning from mistakes and losing to be able to come out in games like this and understand what it takes to be mature and win games like that.
Is it exciting to see growth like that, especially in the third period? You know, you're done in line, don't convert, and then you have to get one to get the kill, just to kind of regroup, keep it to give yourself a chance to win this league.
Of course. I mean, we got guys going out there blocking shots, you know, working their tail off to kill those penalties and earn things like that. And I mean, we've been in that spot all year, so being able to keep maturing our game and finish and close on games like that, you know, it's super rewarding.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Frank Nazar talking about this victory for Chicago. He seemed really pleased with the overall effort by his team today, and how could he not be? I know it wasn't maybe the prettiest of games, but Tampa Bay, they had only one win coming into this game, hadn't won at home yet. And so you knew that they were going to come in desperate on home ice. It was John Cooper against Jeff Blasio, Blasio returning to his old stomping grounds where he was an assistant under John Cooper over the last 3 years. And I just thought Chicago, man, they competed hard in this game. And even though it wasn't pretty, we talked about it the last several years where it's been really difficult for the Blackhawks to win a hockey game with their B game or less. They've almost always had to play their A game. And this is a season now where we're seeing like the Hawks might be able to get away with a B game this year. And a big part of that is riding the coattails of Spencer Knight on occasion. But I think even up front and on the back end, the Hawks are just finding a way to get timely goals. And I even think about the last game on Sunday against Anaheim. I didn't think Frank Nazar's line was particularly strong in the first two periods. If you go look at the numbers, I think the Hawks were getting outshot 11-2 in the shot attempts department when Frank Nazar's line was on the ice in the first two periods of the last game. But in the third period, it was that one shift that Frank Nazar turns the game on his head by starting the play, giving over to Wyatt Kaiser, then finishing it off after the puck hit the post, and then Nazar cleans up the rebounds. Like, that's the one play. It's just a timely goal. Hawks weren't playing their best in the first two periods, or that line specifically, and the Hawks found a way to find the back of the net and just get a timely goal. And so I've been impressed by what we've seen from Chicago so far in that department specifically. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including the Jeff Blasio postgame press conference. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Charlie Romeliotis here breaking down a 3-2 victory by the Blackhawks over the Tampa Bay Lightning to improve to 4-0-1 in their last five games after an 0-2-1 start by the Blackhawks. But man, doesn't it make you look at the first three games a little differently after a 4-0-1 stretch? Because if you look at the season opener, Hawks were... Florida essentially needed all 60 minutes to beat the Blackhawks. The Boston Bruins game two days after that, Hawks easily could have won that in overtime. Nazar had a grade A scoring opportunity, hits the knob of the stick of the goaltender, and then Bedard had a breakaway seconds after that, but was denied. And then the home opener right after that, 2 days later, Hawks were 15 seconds away from at least forcing overtime, and who knows what would have happened there, but the Hawks would have picked up a point. Like, my goodness, it doesn't feel like it's a fluke start. Now, are they riding a hot goaltender in Spencer Knight? Yes, but I think the Hawks are the most penalized team in the NHL, and the power play hasn't been clicking outside of the goal tonight. Nice to see Frank Nazar get one on the man advantage, but it doesn't feel like the Hawks' power play has been clicking at a nice rate yet. And so, I don't know. There have been a lot of encouraging storylines for Chicago out of the early gates. Let's get to Jeff Blasio. He was back in Tampa Bay for the first time since taking the Blackhawks head coaching job. He, of course, was there the previous 3 years as an assistant under John Cooper. Let's hear what he had to say about this big Blackhawks win.
How did you assess that game?
You know, like a lot of games we've been in, you know, I think I like how hard we're playing. I thought we worked extremely hard. I thought we competed extremely hard. I think we make some mistakes, and when we make mistakes, I mean, everybody makes mistakes, and when we make mistakes, Knighter's been great. You know, so like he makes big saves at big moments, and it gives us a chance to win the hockey game. But I like the progress of our team. I think we're headed the right direction.
What did you see in that winning goal?
An unbelievable play by Teuvo Teravainen. If you really look at it, you know, he makes an unbelievable defensive play, and because of that, we're able to go up the ice and ultimately score the goal. And that's, you know, that's kind of what we've been trying to build and talk about is checking for your offense. And when you learn to check for your offense, you're in most nights, and you have a chance to win most nights. We've been in that spot every single game, and so now we're, you know, kind of finding ways to win again. A big piece of that's Knighter.
It seemed like the defensive structure was a little bit looser, especially in the second period. Was there something you talked about with that?
No, you know, we kind of hemmed ourselves in a few times. Some of it's their push. Like, they're a really talented team, so you know they're going to push. So some of it's that. Some of it's, you know, we made some kind of defensive mistakes, and you kind of get hemmed in a little bit in the second, and you can get a little bit loose. But, you know, structure-wise, I thought we were fine. I think, you know, it wasn't perfect, but hard work makes up for mistakes. After not getting that, not getting the goal in that double minor, how big was it just to reset and get that big pin up to kill?
It was a big kill, you know, especially after that momentum of the double minor. You know, you get the double minor, you get the quick 5-on-3. It was unfortunate. Obviously, Connor couldn't be out there for that, so that throws you off a little bit. But the kill was a huge kill, huge kill. But we gave up one really, really good chance that we got to make sure we don't give up. But other than that, I thought we did a pretty good job.
You've been in this building a lot. Did you notice how loud the Hawks fans were tonight?
Well, when I walked on the bench, I saw a lot of red, you know, and I think it's great. It's great. You know, our fans are super passionate, and so it's great to have them in the building.
Yeah, great to have those Blackhawks fans in the building. It feels like the Hawks are going to be traveling more like the Hawks fans are going to be traveling more like they did during the dynasty era, where it was fun to watch the Blackhawks and to want to go out of your way to go watch them on the road. And so it was great to see that the sea of red back in Tampa. It feels like we haven't seen that in a while for Chicago fans. I'm scanning my social media really quick on Twitter or X. It's still Twitter to me, so just please forgive me. And a lot of positive comments, obviously. It just feels good to win. They are exciting and growing up, says Jet711. But the big one here, Tony Chopper, he says, is it too early to start saying playoffs? Let's get delusional. Ah, Tony, I'm so happy you went here. I would be lying if I said on Sunday after the game against Anaheim, you know, I was thinking to myself after a big Hawks win, they improved to 3-0-1. I was thinking to myself, you know, could the Blackhawks this year be last year's Montreal Canadiens, where Montreal bursts onto the scene a year earlier than we all expected? They made the playoffs at 91 points. Don't think anyone saw that coming. And I was thinking, you know, man, can Chicago take that leap? And so I was digging into Montreal's growth as a franchise. And 3 years ago, 3 years prior, so not, they had 91 points last season. They made the playoffs. The previous season, they had 76 points. And prior to that, they had 68 points. So they had an 8-point leap and then a 15-point jump that got him into the playoffs. Then I went to Chicago. Last year, the Hawks had 61 points. The previous year, they had 52. So for the Hawks to be flirting with the playoffs, you're going to think it has to be at least 90 points. That's essentially a 29 or 30 point jump for the Blackhawks. That seems very aggressive. So I'm going to table that theory about the Hawks potentially being this year's Montreal Canadiens of last year. And you might hear me bust it out next year where they could potentially be flirting with a playoff spot maybe a year earlier than we think, because there are a lot of fun pieces on this roster with Bedard and Nazar and Spencer Knight. And we haven't even talked about some of the prospects that could be coming at some point this season, whether it's Oliver Moore or Nick Lardis and Sam Renzel. Man, he performed so well in the 9-game sample size last year. It feels like he has not even gotten going yet. And there's still much higher level that he can get to. Not to say he's been terrible, but I know that he has another gear or two to get to. And so when he starts elevating this roster from the back end and creating some offense, I'm wondering how even more exciting this offense could be. And then you couple that with Artem Levchinov. Like, there's going to be a lot of growing pains with Levchinov. Even on the first goal, on the first goal against tonight, I thought Levchinov on the Jake Guentzel redirection that made it 1-1 in favor of Tampa Bay, or when Tampa got on the score sheet, Levchinov made he was overly aggressive. He probably should have just held the blue line, and he kind of was probably mainly responsible for that goal. But then on the very next goal for Chicago, it was Ryan Donato's first of two goals. He made a great defensive play in his own end that ends up leading to the Ryan Donato goal. And so that's, it's like, it's the good and the bad of Artem Levchinov. So once he starts to do more good than bad, then I feel like there's just going to be more excitement and more contributions all around from the Blackhawks. And so as much as I want to be thinking playoffs, I will say this. Since the 2005 season, I believe it's like American Thanksgiving is the benchmark that, like, if you're in a playoff spot by American Thanksgiving, it's like close to an 80% chance that you're going to make the playoffs. Like, that's how important getting off to a great start is in the NHL. There are some that even rewind back to November 1st. Like, I know Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, he always marks November 1st as his, you know, who's in a playoff spot by November 1st. If we're going based off that, that's essentially next week. And the Hawks right now, I'm just saying, They are in the first wild card spot in the Western Conference with 10 points. And the reason why they're in the first wild card spot is because the three teams ahead of them in the Central, Colorado, Winnipeg, Utah, they all have at least 10 points and at least one game in hand. But if the Blackhawks were in the Pacific Division, the Hawks would be the number two seed in the Pacific. So that's how loaded the Central Division is for the Blackhawks. If they're going to want to make any sort of playoff noise, it's going to have to be in a wild card position. So I think we might be getting a little bit delusional, but I give you permission to get a little delusional as we see what the Blackhawks are going to be over the next couple weeks and as we get closer to American Thanksgiving. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, it's time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Roman Kantsarov, what a start he's having in the KHL. Blackhawks second round pick in 2023. He scored a goal and added an assist today over in the KHL. He's now up to 12 goals in 19 games. He leads all KHL players in goals, and he's seventh with 20 points. He's got 20 points in 19 games. He's on pace for 43 goals and 72 points in 68 games this season in the KHL. Man, he has been fun to track. And I imagine that's just another player to get excited about if you're Chicago. When we talk about Oliver Moore, Nick Lardis, here's a guy, Kantsarov, that could be a potential hidden gem for the Blackhawks whenever he makes that jump to North America. Tonight's next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are back in action on Sunday against the LA Kings, back to a 6 o'clock start at the United Center. LA is off to a tough start. They're 2-3-2 so far this season. However, they are a pretty good road team so far. They're 2-1-1 on the road. They're 0-2-1 at home. They had a four game losing skid snapped the other day against St. Louis. Andrei Kopitar, he will not play in the game for LA because week to week with a foot injury. So they won't be without their captain. This is his final NHL season. So congratulations to Kopitar and a great career. But Hawks are hoping to extend their point streak to 6 games on Sunday. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy. They were led by our engineer. Dan Long was our captain today. For John Weideman and Tony Granato, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 3-2 Blackhawks win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Sunday night from the UC.